relationships as opposed to the very formal relationships. So then Narada, becoming absorbed in thinking of these loving exchanges and how important this loving nature of the Lord is, Narada became completely overwhelmed with ecstasy and fell silent. But then he noticed that Gopikumar wanted to hear more. He was feeling distress. He wanted more instruction. So Narada told him that far away from here is the most exalted place, Goloka. It includes the city of Mathura, which cannot bear to be separated from it. And it is only obtainable by the same pure, unalloyed love for Krishna, as is demonstrated by the bridge buses, which has nothing to do with conceptions of his opulence or power, or the sentiments of awe and reverence. Narada told him it is only achieved by thinking of the Lord as one's beloved friend, even though the Lord is beyond all the worlds. That love for him is also beyond all the worlds. It seems to imitate ordinary love. And it seems to combine three things: great sweetness, as in the case of the love of the gopis; amazing opulence, as for example when the Lord killed demons like Putana; but then simultaneously worldly simplicity, such as when Krishna and Balaram would take lunch with the cowherd boys in the forest while they were herding the cows during the day. So Narada explained that such love is not possible in Vaikuntha, or even Ayodhya, or even Dwarka. Dwarka and Ayodhya are similar to Vaikuntha in that they are very opulent. But Goloka is completely different. Therefore the Lord has put Goloka long way away from all these other places. We may recall that just now Gopikumar has walked from Ayodhya to Dwarka, so it cannot be that far. They cannot be that far away. But Narada explains that Goloka, in order to avoid any possible influences from other places, the Lord has put it long, long way away. Narada explained that there in Goloka, Lord Krishna displays his godhood most completely. Therefore he is often called Hari there, he who can steal the hearts of all by his beauty and charm. Then Narada started to explain how Gokula on earth is non-different from Goloka. His tongue was itching to talk about this, and Narada first of all chastises his tongue, but then tells it, all right, you can just continue talking. So Narada made the point that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to display his supreme pastimes, then he descends to earth. Sometimes the earthly Gokula displays perfections not found in Goloka. Jiva Goswami talks about that. How in Gokula there are sometimes real demons, and therefore the devotees have to really take shelter of Krishna, and he has to really save them. Whereas in Goloka there are only rumors of demons. Here in Gokula, many of the gopis have real husbands, like Srimati Radharani in Gokula is married to Abhimanyu. So when Radha and Krishna are trying to meet, there are real obstacles, because in Goloka there are no real husbands, there are only rumors of husbands. So like this, there are some special aspects to Gokula Vrindavan which makes it different from, and in certain fine ways, better than Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, from our points of view, the most important difference is that Gokula Vrindavan on this planet can be approached even by imperfect devotees, whereas Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world can only be approached by perfect devotees. So this aspect of mercy for the conditioned souls and helping the devotees, helping people to come up to the proper platform, that is here in the Lord's Gokula pastimes, but not really there in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore Narada says that sometimes the earthly Gokula displays perfections not found in Goloka. He explained that when Lord Krishna appears at the end of the Dwaraka Yuga, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, in the 28th cycle of the Yugas, in the life of the seventh Manu in a day of Brahma, then all the other forms of the Lord become inspired to descend with him. So they all enter into him and they leave their posts in Vaikuntha. Even Narada says sometimes Lord Narayan just abandons Mahalakshmi, not even inviting her to come. So in this way, there's so much mercy there in the pastimes of the Lord within the material world, not displayed anywhere else. And because all those other different forms of the Lord are present within the form of Krishna when he descends to Gokula Vrindavan, so different people who have different types of relationships with the Lord or different types of understandings of the Lord, different people, they see the Lord differently and address him differently when he descends to this earth. For example, some people consider him Vaikunthapati, the Lord of Vaikuntha. Some people think of him as Sahasrishi or Shapurusha. Others think of him as Keshava of Mathura, or Narayan, the friend of Nara, or even Shiradakshai Vishnu. Therefore, in different shastras, we find different statements describing Lord Krishna in his appearance 5,000 years ago these different statements are by different people. None of them are really wrong. They're all correct in the sense that all those different forms of the Lord were present within the one form of Lord Krishna. But of course, if those devotees are trying to make the point that the particular perception of the Lord that they have, that is either the essential nature of Krishna or the supreme nature of Krishna, we followers of Lord Chaitanya understand that this is not exactly so. Rather, Krishna, as he is in Vrindavan, this is the supreme form of the Lord.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're continuing on with chapter 5 of the second part. We've written on the board some what seem to be natural divisions in the text. One point is that the first section indicated here is the same as the last one indicated yesterday, which we didn't do, but I just abbreviated it. The glories of Gokula, because in it you find Krishna's greatest mercy, beauty, qualities, pastimes, and subservience to his devotees. That was what we called it yesterday, but we just abbreviated it. Otherwise, the other ones are new sections. So, first of all then, Narada, we're in the house of Uddhava. Narada is mainly speaking. Uddhava is going to say something, but it's just very brief, actually, what he says, and really, the great majority is spoken by Narada Muni. He has just explained something about the oneness of Gokula and Goloka. And at the end, though, he's made the point that there actually is something special about Gokula. Even though in one sense we can say they're not different, but still there's something special about Gokula. So now he's going to explain the glories of Gokula. So these five things are found there. Krishna's greatest mercy, his greatest beauty, his greatest qualities, his most wonderful pastimes, and his most wonderful subservience to his devotees. That is the order that Narada Muni first of all mentions them in, but then when he elaborates on them, he gives them in a different order, somewhat different order. First one that he talks about is the opulence. Six things. The ultimate opulence, the greatest mercy, the greatest beauty, greatest sweetness of his qualities, his pastimes, and his subservience to his devotees. So there are six things, in fact, very outstanding in Gokula. Opulence, mercy, beauty, qualities, pastimes, and subservience to the devotees. First is opulence. Well, there, Narada Muni mentions how Mahalakshmi wanted to come, but she couldn't come. That must indicate there's extremely great opulence there, if even she cannot enter. All the trees are wish-fulfilling. So you can get anything. But generally Krishna does not allow that opulence. There's incredible opulence there. But generally he doesn't allow it to be displayed because it will interfere with the manifestation of the sweetness. And that is the main thing, in fact. The sweetness is the really special thing. For example, in Vaikuntha, there's only one goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi. But in Gokula, Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita, he says that all the gopis are super goddesses of fortune, beyond Lakshmi, all of them. There's so many of them. Then, mercy. He showed a lot of mercy to people like, well, who was the first one? Putana. And then he showed special mercy to Agasura. You know, he showed such special mercy to Putana, he allowed her to become one of his mothers or a nurse, which is Vatsalyaras. So it basically means she became one of his mothers, more or less. So that was great mercy. Then he did something similar with Agasura. He allowed Agasura to go to Vaikuntha and get Sarupya Mukti. Why was that? Simply because he was Putana's brother. That's all. That was his only qualification. Otherwise he had no qualification. At least she had the qualification of some slight motherly feeling, although it was ever so slight. But Agasura, he had actually no qualification. He simply hated Krishna, and that was all there was to it. 100%. But still, he was Putana's sister, so he got sent to Vaikuntha. So just imagine what mercy there was for the devotees, the nice people, and particularly the devotees. Oh. So, that is outstanding. That mercy you don't find, even in Goloka. Because there's no demons to give mercy like that to. Then, his subservience to his devotees. Now, this is out of the sequence as given initially. But anyway, there is a principle involved. It is called Madhurena Samapayate. One should finish on a sweet note. So therefore he's going to talk about the sweetest thing last. So at this point then he is going to talk about the Lord's subservience to his devotees. For example, he became subservient to Mother Yashoda in the Damodar Leela. Note these down because we'll be having another test in a week, so at least those of you who are going to sit it will probably ask you some of these things. So, in the Damodar Leela, he became subservient to Mother Yashoda, and he let her tie him up. And that's very relevant, isn't it? Because today is the first day of the month of Kartik, and tonight we'll be offering candles to Damodar. And then there were other incidents mentioned in the 10th canto. How Krishna, as a little boy, he still hadn't started going out yet. He was still just at home all the time. So the ladies would gather around him and just play, as people sometimes do with children, and tell him, "Why don't you dance?" And just to please them, there was no need to dance. There was no music to dance to. It was just they asked him, that's all. So he started dancing. And why don't you sing? And he would just start singing something in a childish way. So, like this. He would entertain the ladies of the Vraja village in all sorts of innocent little childish ways. But he didn't have to do that. Actually, there was no good reason to do it other than that they wanted it. That's all. So he did it so nicely. And they became so joyful seeing how Krishna responded. Then next is his beauty. His beauty amazed even himself. And the gopis, who are the supreme goddesses of fortune. And, of course, the goddess of fortune, we know, is worshipped by respectable ladies to become respectable ladies, or more respectable ladies, or whatever. Yes, the goddess of fortune. She is famous as being the supreme chaste lady. And the gopis in Vrindavan are super goddesses of fortune. But Krishna was so beautiful that he stole their soberness. And therefore they chastised Brahma for giving them eyes which blinked. They glorified Indra for having 1,000 eyes. And they prayed, "May all of our senses become eyes, so that while we're looking at Krishna, we don't have to hear something which might distract us or smell something or touch or whatever. But just let all our senses become eyes, and then we can just drink the beauty of Krishna and just drown in that. And when even the cows and birds and trees and bushes would see Krishna's beauty, they'd become ecstatic. So, in different ways, the beauty of Krishna was there, very outstanding. Next is the pastimes. And actually, Narada Muni lists out so many of the pastimes, not in detail, but he just mentions them, basically, in the three ages, starting with the Koma pastimes, going up to the Poganda, then the Kishore pastimes as a youth. Krishna did so many things. He broke the cart, cried to be fed milk, showed his mother the universe in his mouth twice, killed Trinavata, stole milk products. Then there was the Damodar Leela. And Narada, there's many verses actually, about 20 or 30 verses. He's just listing out, not describing, but just saying that there was this pastime, that pastime, listing them out. But often he says that may the Lord's pastime of breaking the or knocking down the twin Arjuna trees protect us. So he's not just giving a list, but you know, the understanding is that if he were to go into the details, he would become too overwhelmed, and the whole discussion that they're happening, that is happening here, trying to direct Gopakumar and get him to, you know, get himself sorted out, basically, that would just go off in some other direction, and who knows what would happen. So he does it very, very briefly. He just says there was this pastime and that pastime. So many pastimes one after the other. Yes, so there were the Kumar pastimes, the Poganda pastimes, and Kishore pastimes. The last of the Kumar pastimes is the killing of Agasura. Then the Poganda period begins. Well, actually, the last of the Kumar pastimes is the Brahma Vimohana Leela, or maybe it's in between. But he says that Agasura is the last of the Kumar pastimes, and Dainakasura, killing of Dainakasura, is the first of the Poganda pastimes. Then, the last of the Poganda pastimes appears to be the killing of Pralambasura, and then there are the Kishore pastimes, particularly the rasa dance and various things like that, particularly the rasa dance, but it includes lifting of Govardhan Hill and other things. Then Madhurena Samapayet. In order to finish on a sweet note, last is the qualities. So, Krishna, he had many qualities. He was a brilliant flute player. That's one of his qualities. So that flute playing was more amazing than the verses of the Vedas, which are spoken by him. Bewildered the demigods. The sages found their meditations broken. The planets stopped moving Because of Krishna's qualities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan had so much respect for Krishna that they offered everything to him. Even the adults offered their bodies, families, properties, even their very selves. They were just so struck by Krishna. His association was so stimulating. The cowherd boys, if they were walking along, and they're walking along the forest, there are many trees. Krishna walks behind a big tree. Just walks behind and comes out the other side. But when he walks behind, it's just maybe a second or two or something. But the cowherd boys become devastated because Krishna walked behind a tree and they can't see him. And of course the gopis gave up their husbands, children, other relatives, their destinations in their next lives, and even their religious principles, and even their shyness. A special quality. And they became mad in their love for Krishna. So that's all like one category. That because of the qualities of Krishna, because of the type of person he was, then all these different devotees just became completely captured by him altogether, and that was just the end of everything else in their lives. Then, the moving and unmoving things changed their natures because of his qualities. Animals would become motionless, and inanimate things like rivers, hills, rocks would become alive or exhibit certain symptoms of movement and so on. Then finally, last quality or sort of last category within, like subcategory at least, in the category of qualities, is the qualities that Krishna exhibited in the rasa dance. There's several verses spoken by Narada in which he talks about the rasa dance and how Krishna exhibited these amazing qualities. He says that the rasa dance comprises the essence of everything dear to Krishna. That's quite something, isn't it? The essence of everything which is dear to him. So that's pretty complete. And it revealed the final limit of his supremacy and sweetness. He says an interesting thing. He says, I would sing the praises of Lord Hari's expert. I would sing the praises of Lord Hari's expertise in concealing his motives if he had been able to conceal them after the gopis began complaining to him in the rasa dance. Anyway, very nice way of putting things. But he couldn't, because the rasa dance, the exchanges that were going on, the gopis, and their love for Krishna and their mutual love for each other was such that even though Krishna was trying to play it cool initially and say, oh, why did you come out here? And it's not a very good idea, is it? Perhaps you should go home. But as soon as they started to complain that you called us out here, then there was nothing he could do. He had to say, all right, and start the rasa dance. So therefore Narada says, I would sing the praises of Lord Hari's expertise in concealing his motives if he had been able to conceal them. But that pastime is just so wonderful that he became helpless in the hands of the gopis. Then, despite that, next thing is how he disappeared from the rasa dance and in this way exposed the extreme level of their love for him, in that they all became mad, talking to trees and animals. Where is Krishna? Ah, we can see, telling some tree, yes, we can see that you have seen Krishna.